And that day is today. And we've done three episodes on this, on what happened in July, the July apparition. Of course, the August apparition, the kids couldn't go because they were in jail being interrogated and told to stop lying, which they couldn't do, and they didn't do. The September apparition. And now we're at the main event. Now, I was searching today because I wanted to be able to share this with anyone that I might come in contact with. And I only had maybe 10 minutes to search for it, so I couldn't find it. And that is, it is said that the miracle of the sun was covered by the New York Times. Have you actually seen that story? I couldn't.
Yeah, I've seen the front page story. I don't have it with me today, but it was reported on as an event in Portugal. Yes, it was on the front page of the New York Times.
Okay, all right. So what happened?
Well, somewhere on the New York Times. I'm pretty sure it was the front page, but they definitely reported it as an actual event occurring on that particular day.
Okay, so now what happened on October the 13th, 1917, in Fatima, Portugal?
Well, by then, some 30,000 people had assembled in the field because the crowd had been growing over the course of the previous apparitions. And in July, when the great secret was unveiled, that's the secret in three parts, Our Lady made a promise that she would come show the people who were skeptical a miracle so that all will believe. And at precisely the time she predicted, noon solar time, on October 13, 1917, the miracle began. And 30,000 people were there because they knew there would be a miracle at that time. They didn't just show up there by happenstance. And what they saw was that the sun began to dim so that it looked like a kind of silvery orb that you could look at directly without harming your eyes. And then it began to rotate, and then it began to throw off colors that changed the color of the landscape all around the people. And then, all of a sudden, it plunged toward the earth as if it were going to come down and consume the earth. People were terrified. They fell to their knees. They thought the world was ending. And then, as quickly as it had begun, the phenomenon ended. The sun returned to its normal place in the sky. Now, on that particular day, there had been a downpour. The field was just a bowl of mud, and people's clothes were drenched. But after this phenomenon had occurred, the field was completely dry, and all the people's clothes were dry. Not only were they dry, the clothes were clean, as if they had been dry cleaned. Now, the amount of energy required to dry the clothes of people whose clothes were drenched, 30,000 of them, should have been enough to incinerate them. And yet they were unharmed. Not only this, but there were also conversions, as one might expect, under such circumstances, right on the spot. People fell to their knees. They pleaded for God's forgiveness. They returned to the church in large numbers. There were also numerous and miraculous cures of physical ailments. The miracle was seen some 25 miles away by the poet laureate of Portugal, who was sitting on his veranda. He had forgotten about the predicted event, but he saw it himself from a distance of about 25 miles. Skeptics saw it. News reporters had to admit, including the Daily O Secolo, the Masonically owned and dominated local news outlet, had to admit that something extraordinary had occurred. So even non-believers could see that there had been this absolutely stunning manifestation in the sky at precisely the time predicted. Now, this was the first time in salvation history that not only was there a miracle to verify the authenticity of a prophecy, but it was a predicted miracle. An appointment, as it were, to show up at a certain place to see a miracle. This has never been done before. But then it's appropriate because Our Lady, the Mother of God, who gave birth to Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is the greatest prophet of all. So naturally, she would have to be given, to authenticate her prophecy, the greatest sign of all. And that's what the miracle of the sun is. Not only cures, which are, if you want to put it that way, run-of-the-mill things, for great saints, but this solar miracle. The world has never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it is, and there are photographs of it. We have photographs all over the website at VeritasRadioNetwork.com and at MikeChurch.com. We have a full slideshow coming up later today. And if you're watching this on YouTube, and we're going to publish the video publicly, we have all kind of graphics taken from the actual field and photographs from that day. Now, Chris Ferrara, when you say that there was that she was a prophet, many people are going to go, wait a minute, you Catholics, all right, Ferrara, that's it, I'm out. It was enough with you in the Magnificat.
When she predicts that great things have been done to her and all generations will call her blessed, She is the mother of the Redeemer. Of course she's a prophet. She brought the Redeemer into the world through her womb. The Redeemer, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, shares flesh with a human being, shares her chromosomes. Her blood runs in his veins. What more do you need to understand the unique status of this woman in history, not only as the mother of the Redeemer, but in that capacity, a prophet? When she says things, they have prophetic value. At the wedding feast in Cana, when she says, "Do whatever he tells you," that's a prophecy. She is saying that he is going to perform a miracle for you at this wedding feast, even before his public ministry had begun. How do you slight the mother of God? Even Luther called her the mother of God, not in the sense that she's literally the mother of the Godhead, the Trinity itself, but she is the mother of Jesus Christ, who in the flesh is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. There's no getting around that and the implications of that.
Well, there's another part of this that's mentioned in Luke's gospel, speaking of the prophecy part, and that is the what Saint Simeon tells the Holy Family.
Yes.
when the Holy, now just think about this, always blows my mind. When we talk about where do you get legitimate authority to govern, well, obviously it comes from God. It comes from the eternal law of God, and we know this because our Lord, the Holy Family, Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and little baby Jesus are taken to the temple in accordance with the law of Moses. And I always like to tell people, they go, I don't get it. All right, well, where did Moses get the law? He got it from God. Our Lord tells the Pharisees and the scribes before, and they said, well, what about Abraham? What about Abraham? Before Abraham, I am. So not only do you have the Holy Family saying, okay, you must, we acknowledge, and we're in the presence of divinity here, we acknowledge that the ultimate teaching authority and the ultimate legal authority is the eternal law of God handed down from Moses and then made whole and perfected through the public ministry and teachings of our Lord. But there's another prophecy that goes on there, Chris Ferrara, and that is Saint Simeon says to Our Lady, your heart will be pierced with a lance.
By a sword.
By a sword. And of course, what happens in the last hour of crucifixion, Chris Ferrara?
Our Lord's heart is pierced by the sword that has run through his side.
It's run through his side.
And water and blood issue forth, and Our Lady is at the foot of the cross when all of this has happened.
And of course,
we call her Our Lady because she is Our Lady.
She is Our Lady.
She is the mother, in a real sense, of all of humanity. She is everyone's mother because she is the mother of the Redeemer. That should be obvious to anyone who ponders the mystery of the Incarnation. How can you just put this woman aside? Thanks for your womb. Now we think nothing of you. Get out of the way so we can have our me and Jesus relationship while ignoring the mother that Jesus himself reveres today at this moment in heaven. It's absurd. You have to incorporate into your practice of Christianity the entirety of the mystery of the Incarnation, which involves a relationship between Jesus and his Blessed Mother. She's not an extra in this drama. She's a key participant, without which it could not have happened. There would have been no redemption without Mary's cooperation.
And finally, of course, the second to last words uttered from the site of crucifixion are, Ecce Mater Filium, and then Ecce Fratre Mulier. Behold, brother, thy mother. Behold, mother, thy son. Or something to that effect. I know I just botched.
Meaning that Mary has the relationship of mother to all of humanity,
right?
Because she is the mother of the Redeemer.
Right.